One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Come get some. Beware,
IGN Gamescoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Marty Sliva.
Hey.
Vincent Genito.
Yo.
Brian Altano. Hey. Got a great show for you today. It's time. It's that time of year.
Oh, it is.
You might say it's the most wonderful time of year.
I love it.
Is it Christmas?
Second Christmas.
Second Christmas. Christmas. Our Christmas.
Yeah. Video game Christmas. E3 is upon us.
Yeah.
It's a month-ish. Yep. It's about a month
That's
away
right, oh right
now.
Oh my God, it's really that close.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, wow. It's exciting stuff. Today we're going to give you a little preview of what to expect from Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. Their conference is always at day zero. Now is a day negative one.
Right.
So. Yeah.
It's always like we're there for 4 days, and then someone's like, "Day one is tomorrow."
Yeah, I'm
like,
"How does time work?"
That's how this works.
Sony's conference will be that Monday, so let's give a little rundown of what we know will be there, what we think might be there, and what would be totally radical.
Yeah.
If it twere there.
Twere.
Let me ask you this: when the lights go down in the auditorium and
the kissing starts,
and the kissing,
when people start getting
little kissy kissy, what's the first thing we see up on the screen?
That's probably a really good
Uncharted
question.
4. Yeah, I
Uncharted
agree.
Uncharted 4.
It's probably going to be an Uncharted 4.
Even though it's not coming out this year.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Because let's be honest, there is a lot of ground that Sony has to make up this year in terms of like, there's just dead air. There's a lot of dead air in terms of like straight exclusives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's so cool.
God, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Can we just stop talking and share this? But it's like, I feel like they need to find a way to impress, even though they legitimately don't have anything big in AAA and exclusive coming out this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like the easiest quick ticket to impress people and make people go, whoa, Sony's still got it and Sony's still on, is probably Uncharted.
Yeah. So you think it has to be an exclusive? Because I think
not necessarily.
I think they're kind of moving away from
they
that.
They could like, start with something like Battlefront.
Yeah. Right? They could easily start with something like Battlefront and then just talk about how there's exclusive content for Battlefront on PS4.
Yeah. I mean,
sure.
That's a big thing, too, is that Battlefront, we know, is sort of being led, PS4 is leading the charge.
Far as the advertising goes.
As far as advertising, yes.
That all the advertising is going to say the PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw the closed demo for it at Star Wars Celebration, and it was running on a PS4, and they were using basically PS4 language to describe the release for it and how it played and some of the exclusive content for it. So
yeah,
this could be the year to start with Battlefront since Star Wars is coming out this year.
Yeah, totally.
Sure.
And this demo, like the full demo, we haven't really seen. The public hasn't seen it yet. You guys saw it at Celebration behind closed doors, but like there's no large file for a cool.
We're a couple years into the sort of like the groove of this console generation and the way things are settling right now. It's that the PS4 is going to be the best selling console pretty much far away. I see no scenario in which the Xbox One topples
it. Well, the Xbox One has a lot of ground to make up. Yeah. That
so whereas last generation, the Xbox 360 had the lead in North America for a very long time, you saw a lot of the languaging leaning towards Xbox exclusive and Call of Duty going over there, and a lot of shooter stuff happened there. But a lot of people have gravitated towards the PS4 for that sort of ecosystem. So I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more third-party stuff being equated with them, and that coupled with the fact that Sony's first-party stuff isn't really bringing it. They can kind of hide behind that shield a little bit.
Yeah. They're going to have to hide behind that shield a little bit because they just don't have anything else to hide.
Yeah, sure. And we also just don't know what so many of the studios are working on. Like, we don't know what Japan Studio is working on. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I mean, Santa Monica is working on God of War.
Yeah, no, they are. They've said they are, but we haven't heard anything about
that. We don't know what Sony Ben's working on. We don't know what Media Molecule is working on.
Yeah. We've also seen some of the big games from their first party studios already. Like, we've already seen a Little Big Planet. We've seen a Killzone. We've seen an Infamous. Like, will we get more of those? I don't really know if those are the twice in a generation type of games. I mean, Infamous was, maybe we'll get a sequel to that, but I really don't see that. I see them kind of stepping back, focusing on the bigger properties like Uncharted and stuff like that, and letting the third party exclusive deals kind of ride to the top.
And I also think for all the reasons that you guys are bringing up, that's actually why I feel Uncharted will be at the front. I mean, like, because yes, you're right. Yeah. Is the focus moving more towards third-party stuff? Absolutely, almost by necessity. And that's not just Sony. That's across the industry. Yeah. It's just becoming the norm where that's, you know, what we see the bulk of. But I still feel like the messaging right now that the fans, like the hardcore Sony people, don't want to hear is that, our platform is where you play all the same things you play everywhere else. The Sony fan has always been about, what do I play that's only here? Yeah. So I feel like even if it's true that they're going to have to start banking on third parties more, in terms of messaging to their fans, they want to come out and say, the big, big show opener is something that's only for you. I still think it's important to the Sony fans.
So if we open with Uncharted 4, what do we close with?
That's where you bring in something new.
Yeah. That's where you bring in something new.
I don't think you start with something new, right? It's kind of like when you go see a band in concert. Like, you want them to start with, like, one of their hits and not really, like, here's our song.
Yeah, but they need to save, like, their biggest hit for the encore.
Right.
Yeah,
which is why they're going to finish with Last Guardian.
Whoa. Well, let's save that for later in the show.
Let's save the crazy talk for a little
later. Let's stick to what we know.
Crazy talk, okay.
Let's stick to more of the safer bets, like No Man's Sky. This is a game that they revealed last year as their exclusive.
Yeah.
Right? Surely this is going to be part of their platform this year.
Definitely. Oh, for sure, it will be.
We don't know. This game is still, in theory, a 2015 game. We don't know if that's going to be true. I sort of take that with a grain of salt on every game, especially a game this sort of massive in scope and design and ideas.
2016 is already shaping up to be the year to play 2015's hottest game.
Yeah, right. Which is what 2015 is supposed to be the year for 2014's hottest game.
Which the first half, we're getting there with some Radburn and some Witchers.
Yeah,
cut that man. I think this is going to be, this could be one of those things. I could see them opening with this as a known quantity. This is a game.
Except it's not a known property.
Yeah, it's not a known property, but I think it's a thing everyone's excited for, and everyone wants to know what the hell this is.
It shows well, you know? Yeah. Like, this game and Uncharted are games that just really...
Hi, guys!
We're in the ship!
Hey! It's me! We're flying!
Yeah!
We're flying,
Ryan! Yeah!
What am I doing with my
hands? No, I'm milking the ship! Like this. I have to milk the ship to get it. We're landing on Hoth!
Milk the snow cows in
space. Milk the tauntaun. Can we talk about what tauntaun milk would taste like?
Tauntaun teats. Do you think tauntaun milk would taste good?
Well, hey, you know, and you thought they smelled bad on the outside. Where do you think that comes from?
Top 10 milks in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, actually, they do describe the stench of those things in that film. So I don't think tauntaun milks taste good.
Nah, I don't think you want to go there.
Anyway,
No Man's Sky. So, No Man's Sky, here's what I'm nervous about with No Man's Sky. Here's what I'm afraid of.
Okay.
Some games, as we know, have been...
Oh! They still got the old Microsoft image.
Why not?
That's going to be really big if Sony opens up with...
Yes,
we have amazing news with Halo.
Halo
5, yeah!
Mr. Chips is coming home!
Pay no attention to... So, tauntaun teats aside, how are we feeling about No Man's Sky?
So, I'm excited, but I'm worried. And the reason I'm worried is because, you know, a lot of stuff has moved out of the 2015 calendar now at this point, and Sony needs to find a way to fill it. And I get nervous that one of the ways they're going to fill it is going to is going to be to look at Hello Games and be like, hey guys, we really need to get this out.
Yeah, wrap it up.
Really. So, and not that Sony is typically, you know, guilty of that. Mm-hmm. They usually actually give their studios a lot of time and resources to do their thing, and I respect them for that. But I feel like this is going to be one of those situations where they're like, look, the system's been out for 2 years. We can't spin wheels anymore and talk about what's going to happen. We need to talk about what's coming, like, now. And I feel like maybe Hello Games might get a little nudge and go, there's no way this is slipping, so no matter what shape your game is in, it better come out in 2015.
We're going to take your 11-man team and add a 12th and 13th person.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
See, I don't really know. I don't necessarily feel that level of pressure because, I mean, the PS4 is selling incredibly well. Mm-hmm. Or do you think they're really lighting fires under developers' asses
and saying,
you got to get your games out sooner?
I don't think that would be the smart way to deal with that sense of urgency, per se, because that's just kind of rushing things and nothing good ever comes from that. But I think Sony needs to have a sense of urgency right now. They have a huge lead, but as you already said before, Microsoft had a huge lead last generation, and then things changed. Things can change in one holiday season in this, you know, unless you've got 5 or 6 years of winning it behind you.
Well, especially with this season with Microsoft, you know, in theory having Halo and Rise of the Tomb Raider and Forza, like that's a big trio.
It's massive. If you look at what's exclusive coming down the pike for Microsoft and what they've got, you know, coming in the next year or so, it's a pretty good slate of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like all they need is this one. If this holiday season comes and goes, and Sony doesn't have anything huge they can stamp on a box.
Yeah,
this could be the turning point of the platform war. I hate getting sucked into that, but it could be a turning point for them. So they have to be careful.
What about this game, Until Dawn?
Yeah, spooky games.
Yeah, they've been showing this for a while.
Big fan of spooky
Hayden
games.
Hayden Panettiere.
Mrs. Hero.
Surely this is going to be something they're going to want to show
Mrs.
off.
Mrs. Heroes. I'm excited for this game. We saw this game a lot at Gamescom.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Indigo Prophecy Heavy Rain in terms of it's this choose-your-own-adventure
they're
game.
Camping in the snow now?
Yeah, they're smooching in the snow. But it's like a teen slasher movie, but I think there's something going on there. But any character can die, which is kind of cool. Like throughout the story, like a character can die, and then he just doesn't, you know, that character doesn't exist later on in the game. And so, I don't know, the stuff we've seen so far, I have high hopes.
It's an interesting game for sure. Mechanically, what I think is a little bit weird about it right now is that I love the idea that you have to make all the decisions that a person who's kind of under siege in a horror movie has to make. And sometimes we yell at people for making those decisions incorrectly. And so you get to be the person actually making those decisions. It's a cool hook.
Yeah, that's great.
But at the same time, it's just like the way they do it with the motion control, I'm just like, it's literally just A or B. I'm like, that could be an X or O. Like, I feel like that's a little bit overwrought trying to make emotion.
There's time to
mechanics.
Sure, to change that.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way about a lot of stuff in Heavy Rain. Like, it didn't. It had a lot of kind of ham-fisted controls, but I sort of enjoyed that as a break between. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't want every game to play like that. But in between, like, awesome third-person action games or space simulators and stuff, I think it's pretty cool to play a game like that every now and then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's fine that the decisions are kind of binary. I just wish it was like, I don't want to do this the whole game. I just,
sure.
Like, if it's either A or B, then fine, I'll just...
We don't want to do this driving instead.
Yeah, let's do this instead. That'll be great.
I'm excited for this. I don't think this game's going to be huge. Like, it might be good, but I don't think, numbers-wise, this isn't, like... They shouldn't have this be their tentpole game of the fall. Although, if it comes out in October, that makes sense. People like spooky things in October.
Like I was saying before, they might not have a chance. Yeah. They might not have a choice. They might have to make it, you know, try to make it a tentpole. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to have to get it out this fall before Microsoft wins the console wars. And the tides turn.
I think you're putting words
in
my mouth.
I'm just kidding.
I know this will be controversial, but I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that there will be a montage of upcoming indie games.
No.
Coming to PlayStation.
No. Yeah. Get out of Dodge.
That is asinine. Yep.
I called it.
Yeah.
There's Lover's Quarrel. There's Box Circle. There's going to be Ninja Cube. Catching the Rain.
I want to play Box Circle.
Bad verb.
Like you could have said there's going to be Super Hot, but like, no,
yeah,
that's a
yeah,
real
that's,
game.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that's helped fill in the gaps.
And I'm actually, let me clarify, I'm not dissing any
game. No,
none of us are. We all play the heck out of all those kinds of games.
And it's what is filling in the gaps between, you know, while the big first-party Sony games aren't there. Like, we get things that are rad, like Transistor and Broken Age and
shout out to Rogue Legacy.
Shout out to Rogue Legacy. Seriously.
I really feel like that is, like, I keep harping on that, but I think that's part of Sony's strategy is to sort of just kind of have the shotgun effect of a bunch of different things hitting at the same time. And creating that perception that there is a gigantic library of games on the console. And I think they're starting to put indie games up with AAA games sort of in the same space. And I don't think gamers are ready to start equating those things yet.
Which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, but at the same time, I can't justify that a little bit because I know that people buy a $400, $300 console, and they hook it up to their TVs, and they bring their friends over, and they go, check out this system. Look what it can play.
A quirky pixel art side-scrolling
skateboarding game.
Yeah.
Yeah, pixel art, exactly. So, but me, I play them all equally, so I say bring on the indies along with the AAA stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we'll see more of it.
Yeah.
The question is that going to be... I mean, I think that even people who aren't super into indie games were at least able to accept the idea that, hey, system's early in its life. For now, this is how they're kind of plying the message. I feel like that's going to run out, though, soon.
Yeah, I mean, as long
even
as...
Even for people who like those games,
as
I think
long
it's
as amazing
out.
Ones keep coming out that, you know, we're giving Game of the Year nominees to.
Yeah, it's like the indie game is like the new mid-tier game.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the AA has fallen away. Like those studios aren't here anymore. Those developers and publishers aren't here
anymore. I think especially on the PlayStation platform, you sort of have that notion that like there's a 50-50 chance that those games will come to PlayStation Plus, which means the barrier for entry is like basically free because it's money you've spent already. And like that's where I catch up on a lot of stuff that I might not necessarily download independently. But like, I'll turn on my console once a month, and obviously way more than that. But they'll be like, here's your 4 free games this month, and I'll download everything and play through them all. And, you know, I think that's a good way to kind of get people accustomed to games like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, we mentioned Destiny before.
Yeah.
How it was closely aligned, the advertising is closely aligned with Sony. Does it make sense to bring that out again in 2015 to remind people?
Yeah, I think so. I think Destiny was one of those things, you reviewed it, you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us tend to forget about it, but Destiny still does crazy traffic for IGN. People are still playing
people
this game.
Are still playing it.
There are people in the office that still play it.
People are still
waiting
for Fran and Jose and Destiny are obsessed with it.
Yep.
And I think the way people saw Destiny was, like we talked about it this morning with Assassin's Creed, where sort of like Destiny felt like a really good skeleton, and now it's getting meat put on it.
Yeah.
And once the meat's there, you got this beautiful meat skeleton.
Yeah. That's right.
Just this beautiful meat
that
skeleton.
That is terrifying.
Delicious.
But no, I mean, they did say from the jump they are sort of creating this, like, this living, breathing world that they're going to keep expanding.
They have a 10-year plan.
Yeah, and that's very different than the way we sort of think of things as annualized franchises. Like, we see a new Assassin's Creed every year, but I don't think we're going to see a new Destiny every year. I think for now they're going to keep building on that. There'll be new expansions and stuff like that that all connect to the original hub, but it sort of feels like if you didn't get into it, you might never. But if you stuck with it, like it's going to keep rewarding you. So
I have a feeling it'll do the World of Warcraft thing, where if you jump into Destiny, your character's automatically level 30 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can immediately start playing with the big boys and go from there.
I think what's weird about this too is that E3 comes at a weird timing for Destiny in general because the second expansion, House of Wolves, will already have just come out.
Yeah.
And those two expansions, like The Dark Below and House of Wolves, were the two that people have been talking about for a long time that we knew were coming.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't a lot of talk yet or speculation even about what might be coming afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's both weird because I don't know if they're going to get up on stage and announce something huge and big new that's coming soon when they've literally just a couple of weeks before that shipped their new expansion.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, that could make it the perfect opportunity.
Well, it's also like the E3 live pressers are always sort of self-gratifying for publishers. They have those little pat on the back montages where they can kind of be like, and we also put this out, remember that?
Yeah, we
did that, that's awesome. So that happens every now and then.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I wouldn't mind like if they just threw a Destiny slide in there if they have nothing new to report on.
Neither would I, but what I would be really interested in is if, you know, the first two expansions for Destiny so far have been decent. They've added some interesting content and stuff, but it's still Destiny as we knew it, which was still kind of a skeleton.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe they will have something to show about how they will fully flesh out the Destiny skeleton in terms of features and in terms of story content,
totally.
In terms of the world. Maybe they'll blow our minds and surprise us and have something to tease that's really big for
us. Yeah, I mean, so that like there was that slide that leaked a while ago, and it said something called Destiny Comet. And that's a thing that, I mean, everything else in that slide has sort of come true already. So and I think that thing was slated for release later this year. So maybe that's the big sort of Destiny,
be.
I don't know, 2.0. I don't know how numbers work, but yeah.
Housemarque.
Yeah. Developer, a longtime supporter of PlayStation, and their new game is Alienation.
Yep.
Surely that will be there in some capacity.
And I will care about it a lot, and no one else will, and it'll be great.
No, I mean, so Ryan McCaffrey and I got to play this a couple weeks ago at a Sony indie event. It was surprisingly early in development. It is very four-player cooperative centric, which worries me a little bit.
Like Helldivers, like four players cooperative
centric? Yes. Yes, like that. And as someone who I preferred Resogun to
Dead Nation.
I like Resogun and Stardust better than Dead Nation.
So, right. So same with me.
Yeah. I mean, this is a developer, like I everything they make is good, even if it's necessarily not for me. And I think this is one of those it's one of those sort of independent studios that's so closely aligned with Sony and delivers such consistent quality, like almost like that game company and Giant Sparrow, that it's something that people should be excited for.
And what about Everybody's Gone to the Rapture?
That was another game that was at that same event, and that's the game. That's something super special. That's
coming this year?
That's a Marty Sleva joint.
That is a game made for Marty Sleva, because you walk and you just don't do a whole lot else.
Yeah.
You walk in a very pretty place and you answer spooky phones.
It's they're doing some really interesting stuff with this game and the way they're sort of nailing that unsettling feeling
is this Blade?
You get.
That's the whole game.
Like, it is playing. You're just standing at
that's the phone booth level.
Everybody's gone in the Rapture.
Standing outside a broken
telephone
booth.
Everybody's making a phone call.
Change in my pocket.
No, but they're really nailing that kind of unsettling feeling you get in quiet suburban settings. That you're just like, something's a little off here.
Yeah.
That kind of like the Burbs kind of feel.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, most kind of first-person games without necessarily shooting mechanics have been huge lately. Stuff like Gone Home.
FPAs.
FPAs.
First-person
FPXs. FPAs are what they tried to call Metroid Prime.
Isn't it like a first-person adventure game?
They tried to call Metroid Prime. When Metroid Prime first came out.
Adrift. This is the term first-person experience.
Yes.
Yeah. So and I wonder if Adrift would be there.
Yeah. Or if people are just making up things
Firewatch.
Every
day. A lot of cool first-person.
And what about Project Morpheus?
That, I'd be willing to bet, is there a lot. It's
supposed to be coming out next year. Hard to demo on a stage.
That's the thing. I don't know. And this is going to be the problem with virtual reality in general. Like, I think that the technology is reaching there and the interest from the consumer base is getting there. But how you... I mean, it sounds... weird, but the real logistical problem is how do you sell it? How do you get up on stage and show people that this is something worth your time?
Like the Nintendo Wii O has had the same exact problem, right? Like you couldn't show how that thing worked because you just saw people flailing their arms in front of a TV, which is actually what they were doing.
Yeah.
But once you got your hands on it, then you were sort of convinced. And I think like Sony has a similar. Honestly, anybody trying to hawk motion or these like basically VR helmets is going to run into the same thing. But I think that mystique is part of the appeal that will get people in to actually try it out. Like they'll set up these demo kiosks at Best Buy where you can go put one on and it'll be full of head lice.
And you should never do
that.
Make sure you tip it over and empty out the head lice.
You can get shade on your head. What you want to do is you want to yell loudly into it to kill them all.
I was going to say the same thing minus the head lice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if their announcement is they show it off at the conference and then they say at these 100 Best Buys across the country, try it right now. Because that's the whole thing, is it's even hard for us to convey what this thing is like.
Sure.
People who haven't used it, like we come back, we're like, oh, it's crazy, it's this. Other people in the office are like, okay, like, I'll believe it when I try it.
I tried Morpheus at TGS and I found it like kind of dizzy and confusing, but I also was hosting a video while doing it with a microphone up to me and a cameraman on me and a cute Japanese woman next to me who was yelling in my ear.
Very
most
hungover.
Of those things will not be part of your experience when you try this at home. So, but even then,
depends
like, I was,
pre-orders.
Yeah. Depends on where you go. So don't go to Best Buy because it comes with head lice. It's exclusive head lice though. So even then I was just like, I'm really intrigued by this, but I need to try this in the proper setting, which is, you know, a quiet home.
And I think the other thing about it too is, you know, to this point, even with the impressive demos that have existed for all the VR kits that we've seen, for the most part, it's been experiences, right? Or games that are not fully supported. They just have some kind of, you know, functionality in it. I think what needs to happen, especially if for Sony, because they're the ones really trying to bring it to the mass consumer base, is we need to see a game, a real full game. They need to They need to come out with a big studio. That might even be what one of the first party studios is working on. Is the first real Morpheus game.
Yeah.
And I think this would be a perfect year to bring that to the stage.
Yeah, we know Japan Studios working on a couple games, so maybe one of them is that.
Yep.
Those Japanese are wacky.
Cool. Maybe it's an original game, or maybe it's something that we already know is coming up that Morpheus is going to support.
Yeah, right.
I was trying to think of a first-person game like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture or something like
that. Sure, sure.
First-person mode in Uncharted 4.
No, that would be so hard. He's vomiting the entire time.
Hey, it worked for GTA.
That's true.
You know? Who knows?
What about God of War?
It's time.
Yeah, so like it's time to talk about God of War 3.
So we know God of War 3 remastered.
Yeah, remastered is coming.
And at the end of that trailer, and they've said they're working on a new God of War. At the end of that trailer, they sort of hint at the number 4. I think this is the year we see footage of God of War.
Yeah,
whether it's the next God of War,
It might not be called four.
The last one was Ascension.
Yeah. So it might be God of War subtitle something. But I think we see this again. This could be something they kick off with.
The interesting thing about it too is that they have said it is not a prequel. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing they've said as far as a confirming thing. So if it's not a prequel, but they're not saying it's a sequel either, I have a strange feeling this is going to be a God of War reboot.
I bet it's God of War, Game of War, and Kate Upton comes out on stage.
No.
You have to fight her boobs.
No. Nerp.
The many-headed Hydra.
In addition to Uncharted 4, are we going to get an Uncharted collection?
I think we are. Absolutely getting this.
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
Yeah, I think we're going to be getting a lot of those at the conferences.
Yeah.
I think it's also, now that we know the game is being delayed till next year, I think this will be a good, like, hey, but by the way, you can replay Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 in 1080p, 60.
Or maybe just two.
I'm fine with just two.
Yeah, two.
I bet it'll have some sort of a beta access for the multiplayer in Uncharted 4.
That's probably smart, or some sort of demo or something, some vertical slice that you can run through.
Yeah, because there are certain. I only played those games once a piece, so I would definitely be down for going through
them. I would guess that a majority of people who own a PS4 have never played any of them. Because that's the way it was with The Last of Us.
PS4.
Yeah.
Oh, just because so many Xbox people have moved over.
Yeah, and so many people bought a PS4 as their first game console, and et cetera, et cetera. I think there's a lot of people that haven't played this. I mean, Uncharted 1 is, like, how many years old now?
It's really old, because it's
2007, I want to say.
Yeah.
That's 100 years.
I mean, there's no way to figure out what that difference is in years.
No method known to man.
If only one of us brought our abacus.
Oh, well.
What's the status of the Ratchet & Clank remake? Has that been confirmed? Is that a real thing happening?
No, that's a real. Okay. There's a Lomax and a robot friend.
Are they making a movie at some point?
Yeah, they are making a movie. They're remaking the original Ratchet & Clank in a brand new pretty engine.
Yep.
Which is sort of the reason I don't think they're going to reboot.
Or bring out a new.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't. The first game is. Hasn't aged super well, like, compared to the PS3 games, Crack in Time especially. So I'm curious to see, like, if it's just a visual makeover or if they're actually, like, putting in new mechanics and bringing in things from the future installments. I don't know. It's just interesting to see, because obviously the big Insomniac games last year were Infamous at the beginning of the year and then Sunset Overdrive at the end of the year.
So, yep.
Yeah.
What about some of these developers like Guerrilla and Sony Bend?
So that's the big question, like we mentioned earlier,
is what
the hell is everyone doing? Bend, I think we've been predicting forever, a Siphon Filter game, which I don't know if Siphon Filter has the cachet, especially since, like, it's been a very long time since a good one.
I thought they did come out at some point and confirm that it's not a Siphon Filter. I have to double check on that, but I feel like they've come out and said it's not Siphon
Filter. Maybe that.
Interesting.
Maybe that's that was
because
a
I want filter. To electrocute someone to death with my taser on my
PS4. Yeah. Using your sick motion controls. Guerrilla artwork has leaked, supposedly, a bunch of concept art of this open world, like, futuristic dinosaur hunting game. That's supposed to be like an open world RPG, which I'm totally on board for.
I'm ready for those guys to move on.
From
Killzone.
Yeah,
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, me too. I loved everything about Killzone, but playing it, like, it was gorgeous to look at. Like, I love that world. Like, those some of the shots they did in the beginning of that game, just panning through that whole city they built. Like, take that and throw dinosaurs in it. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of developers have question marks too. Media Molecule, mm-hmm. we haven't seen what their PS4 thing is. Tearaway Unfolded is coming out for the PS4, but Media Molecule, I'm sure, is working on something weird. They might be a Morpheus.
It'd be a pretty ideal pick to showcase that hardware, wouldn't
they? They've done interesting things with, they were sort of
early. Well, Tearaway.
Tearaway was just used every piece of the Vita. Yeah. So I can see that. The other big one is Quantic Dream, David Cage's studio. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen anything since Beyond Two Souls.
My guess is we'll see an HD remake of that. Or the upport or
whatever,
remake of that.
Whatever the hell we call those now.
Well, they did show at last E3, they did show that Sorcerer demo.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
So wait, they showed the first demo at the reveal event. And then
Kara or whatever?
Kara, as awesome as Kara was not, they said very explicitly, is not something that is working into a game they're making, which broke my heart because that was an really amazing short. Yeah.
So, did the Sorcerer thing, there were two of them. One was serious, mm-hmm. and then the second one was like, we're on a film set.
Yeah.
And the Sorcerer was like, it was like the whole spoilers Iron Man 3 thing. I just spoiled Iron Man 3 for I've just spoiled a lot of things today.
Yeah, that's the kind of disheartening part about all these E3 press conferences is that there's always like 5 or 10 minutes in them that never becomes anything. That you're just like, here's the thing, and you're like, wow, what's that? And we speculated for 6 months, and then a year later, we're like, oh yeah, what was that?
Yeah,
that never happened. Nothing ever came from that.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want to see Quantic Dream do a comedy personally, and I wouldn't want to see them.
I thought it was hilarious when that dude kept saying Jason. Or when his kids spoke French.
I hope they have something.
You're a gammy killer.
Oh, God. Origami.
That was really funny. That was great.
What about Final Fantasy 15, Kingdom Hearts 3, Square Enix stuff?
Is that one? That's one title now, right?
Yeah, Final Fantasy 15, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Square Enix.
Two and a half
Square Enix stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those games were re-revealed alongside each other at Sony's conference 2 years ago. 15, we assume, is further along development, consider we've played it.
Yep.
A lot of us own a piece of it. Yeah, I definitely think we'll see... Well, let me rephrase that. We might see stuff from both of them there, but it's possible the next day when Square has their own conference.
Square does have their own conference, although sometimes they double up, you know.
Oh, definitely. Sure. Yeah, Ubisoft does that a lot.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that this year.
Yeah.
Since there are, what are there, 97 different E3 press conferences?
Yeah, 97. Yeah.
102.
Is the actual, 102.
Yeah. 102 is the actual number.
Yeah, they just added 5 PC only
right.
for specific graphics cards.
Right.
It's getting ugly.
No, but I think Kingdom Hearts, I'd be surprised if we didn't see something from Kingdom Hearts, because honestly, it's been a while. I mean, what is it now? Was it a year and a half ago we got that gameplay trailer?
Yeah.
And has there really been anything substantial shown of it since then?
Little snippets. Like the goofy voice actor was like, yeah, it's going to be out by the end of the year. And then everyone was like, no, goofy voice actor, you don't know what's going on.
So yeah, I think we're going to see something there.
Yeah.
What about the David Jaffe game, Drawn to Death?
Yeah,
PlayStation experience.
Yeah,
they've been playtesting this a lot more, which means it's like it's
a thing
ready to get dragged down in the wild.
Yeah,
it's really awesome. It's a asynchronous multiplayer.
No.
Is it
asymmetrical?
Asymmetrical multiplayer shooter that is basically based on the messed up drawings that his son makes.
Yeah,
it's cool. I love the art direction.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
I adore the art direction. Yeah, I mean, that's like, David Jaffe's one of those guys who's made games that have just been synonymous with Sony consoles.
Yeah,
from Twisted Metal stuff to God of War. I even really liked Calling All Cars.
I did too.
So, interested to see. Also interested to see, I don't know if they've, have they announced like what the business model of this is? Like, I don't know, is this free to play?
I don't think they've explicitly spoken about that, but I have played this game a fair bit, and from what I've played already, I already love where it's going. The mechanics are totally off the wall. Mm-hmm. Like you just saw there's one of the weapons is a bowling ball that if you hold the button down, you can drag it along the ground and light it on fire.
That's cool.
So it does bonus damage, and then you can ricochet it off of surfaces, and if it hits something after it ricochets, it does even more bonus damage.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cool weapons, and then the specific characters have their own abilities, and some of those abilities are designed specifically to do extra damage or to be counters to what other characters' abilities are.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like kind of a meta game. Like, I don't want to say it's class based or character based like the way Dota is or anything like that, but there's definitely a kind of like a meta of like, hey, this counters that's
really, really love the art direction. Mm-hmm. I feel like if this game was in sort of modernized Twisted Metal graphics, I would probably not be into it at all.
Totally.
It would just seem like
sure.
it would sort of just, I would just walk by it and look and be like, oh, it's another one of those kind of games. Yeah, right. But the way it looks right now is gorgeous. It visually pops. Like, yeah. Oh my God, it's stunning.
We have this cool little resurgence of competitive shooters that look very different.
Yeah.
Stuff like Splatoon and Overwatch.
Yeah.
Brattleborn. Yeah, I like that. I like that everything isn't just photorealistic.
Yeah.
Shoot men in heads.
I think developers realize that like those they don't have a lot of legacy to games like that because you go back and look at them 5 years later and they never hold up as well.
Sure.
I feel like this game's going to look awesome for a very long time.
Just like Team Fortress 2 still looks awesome right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What about that game Rhyme?
Yeah.
Showing off at Gamescom last summer.
I'm excited for that. We've known about this game for a while.
Speaking of games that are going to look awesome for a very long time.
This game is like the
PS4's Wind Waker. What is it?
Yeah, like Wind Waker, but also Eco. They'll make Last Guardian before Last Guardian makes the Last Guardian. I'm really curious. The one weird thing is this comes from I believe their name is Tequila Works, who worked on Deadlight, which was an XBLA zombie survival game that was 2D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just one of those
interesting game.
Yes, an interesting game, but it's also just one of those. Man, this is very different than that.
Yeah,
much like Joe Danger No Man's Sky.
Yeah, but this is just like such a gorgeous world. I just want to walk around it. You know? Like this is really it. I feel like there's not a ton of exploration in video games anymore, as much as there should be. Like we have massive open worlds everywhere, but they're dotted with mini games and quests and things to do. Like there isn't really that mystique of what's around the corner from here. Like and this just kind of looks like there's no HUD. There's nothing happening. This is just it feels like I'm watching a cartoon. And this is just this big world you can walk around it. Like it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You can turn a rock into a tower.
You get Robot Man.
Fight that guy's legs.
Just his legs.
Yeah.
What about Gran Turismo? Gran Turismo 7?
Yeah.
What's the likelihood of that?
I mean, Polyphony is probably doing that.
They probably are. They're in such a weird place, Polyphony, because Gran Turismo 6 released in this weird vacuum between generations.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going to E3 that year, and that was when Microsoft and Sony were both showing off the Xbox One and the PS4, like for the first time.
Yep.
And I was at the Xbox and Microsoft's booth playing Forza for the Xbox One, and then immediately after that, I went to go play Gran Turismo 6 for the PS3, and I was like,
yeah,
you know, it was in a weird place. So I don't know.
I would say that like swan songs for consoles already have it kind of tough enough. But having them be like graphical benchmarks is basically setting it up to die. Because you're right, like they put that thing out, and by the time it was like these are the most realistic cars in the world, it was like not even close.
Right.
It's not even the most realistic cars in 10 feet of each other at
E3. Yeah. Right. And that's kind of the problem is Gran Turismo kind of banks on that.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it being developed for the PS4, it could very well be a graphical tour de force.
Yep.
But is it too little too late for that franchise? I mean, certainly there's a lot of people who play on PS4 who would love a hard dyed-in-the-wool simulator experience because right now you don't have that necessarily, not in the purest, like, deepest sense. Mm. But then again, like, as a person who plays both platforms a lot, Forza has been knocking Gran Turismo's teeth in for a while now just in terms of mechanics and detail. So, I don't know, like, I'd love to see Gran Turismo come back and like answer back and reclaim the throne, but I'm not sure.
Gran Turismo's not gonna have Fast and the Furious DLC.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's true.
At the PlayStation 4 reveal event 2 years ago now.
Wow.
Over 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Blow came on stage and showed off The Witness coming to PS4. Yep. And I don't think we've really gotten much of an update since then.
Barely. No, we've it was playable last year at E3, but in like a weird room, a secret room.
And I think the last thing we heard were those stories about how he put all of his money into it. Mm-hmm. And
he took all the money he made from Braid and put it all into The Witness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which wasn't really a gameplay update, but it was sort of like, well, we better buy this.
Well, we did preview it after there was an indie showcase, kind of like the one you went to a month or so ago. Like there was the last one before that, The Witness was playable, and we got a look at it there and messing around with some of the puzzles and some interesting mechanics to those puzzles and kind of how they tell a story as well and kind of set a tone for the world. But yeah, it's a game we haven't seen a whole lot of, but I have no reason to believe it's not going to be interesting.
Cool. Yeah, and he like his development blog is fascinating on the game, and they said like, all right, puzzles are complete, now we're polishing. I'm like, fuck. I need this. I wrote, when I was working at 1UP, I wrote an article on my three most anticipated games, and they were Bioshock Infinite, that came out, Last Guardian, that didn't come out, and The Witness, that didn't come out.
Wow.
This was 2012.
Well, guess
I
what,
was
Marty?
A child. I wasn't allowed to vote in a state election.
Well, that's like saying your five favorite GameCube games were the Capcom 5.
Oh, that's so sad.
Hey, a few of them were really good.
I know. Well, and then two of them don't actually exist. Yeah, two don't even exist, right?
How much stage time does Sony devote to the Vita?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
That's a probably very being liberal.
Probably being generous at that point. Yeah. They have accepted the fate of that, and I love my Vita. I love my Vita, but yep. I think it's become clear to them that what the image that they sold of the Vita and what they wanted the Vita to, the promise of the Vita to like the mass consumer, is a promise they gave up on. The idea of, they've more or less said that it's not financially viable for them to try to bankroll AAA titles the Vita.
So not only that, which is interesting because then it sort of became this this home for indie games, which I kind of love it for.
That's why I love it for.
And it's like, that's why I love
and weird JRPGs.
And yeah, weird stuff like that.
Which I love.
But I think that the Vita had its shot for a second wind when the PS4 came out. And I remember we speculated for a long time that there would be bundles where they sold them together.
I made that prediction.
And they would be communicating together a lot more than they actually do.
I really thought that was amazing.
And that didn't happen. Like it's Big Brother's getting all the fame and attention and selling tons, but the Vita hasn't been able to piggyback off of that. So I don't think it's dead. But I don't think that they're going to do anything that can really resuscitate it. Like, I think they're fine with it just existing kind of flatline-ish. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know what you do with that. Like, yeah, you can do a game montage. You can do what you did last year where you don't really show a lot of it, but you have 10 or 12 games on the show floor, which we ended up, like, going in and digging up anyway and finding what we liked. But, yeah, I don't know what you do. Like, if I had all the money in the world, I couldn't tell you how to turn that thing around.
They're just gonna show off a couple of upcoming games probably really quick. Just, they can't do nothing. If they do nothing, that makes such a huge, huge statement in terms of messaging about what they think about the Vita. But I think at this point, and to be clear, just because I'm saying they're not going to make any more AAA games for it, doesn't mean I think that means the system is worthless. Mm-hmm. To me, the system will continue to do what it's always done, which is, give me awesome portable experiences, give me awesome indie experiences that I already kind of know about on my PC and other platforms on the go. Great, I'll always love it for that, but I don't think that they need to spend time on stage.
The other thing too is that when they do spend time on stage, it usually amounts to stuff that don't actually pan out to anything. Like we had Ken Levine hold up a Vita one year and say BioShock, and it didn't actually say anything. It was just a BioShock logo. And then Randy Pitchford and co helped bring Borderlands to Vita, and that was kind of a disaster. Yeah. So like, if people aren't really buying the indie games on there and they're not really flocking to the AAA stuff because it either doesn't exist or it doesn't work or it's not that great, then I don't know what you do with it. You know?
Yeah, not after you sold it as that. Like that. Yeah. I've said this many times. Like, honestly, like Golden Abyss, like that Uncharted game, that was the worst thing that could have happened for the system because it was great. It was beautiful, but it kicked off the Vita era in hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make these AAA like console experiences on your system. And then there was never Killzone Mercenary is probably the only other one that delivered on that promise.
There was the Call of Duty one that was bad.
Oh, that was hot trash. Yep. I think it'll be a lot of the things in the indie montage that you so boldly predicted.
Mark my words.
I think a lot of those games are going to be cross-buy, cross-save. This will be on everything. Or they close the show off by finally telling us what Nier is, how you use Nier.
No one knows.
Turns out Nier has been curing your sicknesses while you have it in your pocket.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to hear the sound of 1,000 people in a room and only one of them gently clapping, that'll be the day.
Likelihood of a price drop.
For Vita?
For PS4.
Ooh. For PS4, I would say 99% unlikely. I see no reason for them to do that. I don't even know if Microsoft will, because they just did. Again. Like, that's just, it looks bad at that point. But like we've been saying the whole show, the PS4 is selling really well. Like, you do bundles, that's what you do. Like, you do new colors, new SKUs in terms of throwing in, like, an extra controller. Like, maybe we'll see some kind of Morpheus bundle that's teased, but I don't really know how that looks, But I would say they'll probably show off an Uncharted 4 or one that has leaves all over it or whatever.
Leaves.
A rope. Just a bunch of dirt.
A rope gently draped over the
Uncharted's
top.
Trademark leaves.
The first thing I think of when I see Uncharted.
All right, so we talked about what we know will be there, what we think will be there, what we don't think will be there.
We've missed something.
What?
Persona 5.
Okay.
Persona 5. They said at the PlayStation Experience last year. Was it the PlayStation? It was in 2014. It was last year. They said that it will probably become West in 2015. Mm-hmm. If they're saying that, then I feel like we haven't seen barely anything of it. We've seen like one gameplay trailer, I think, and a cinematic. Yeah. E3 would be the place to show that off.
At the Sony conference?
Yeah, that's one of their last remaining big exclusives.
That game's gonna be huge. I don't think we're gonna see it at E3. I think we're gonna see a whole bunch of it at TGS.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, but it's like, I think this is, especially with how light things have become, I feel like this is Persona's year to like become massive in the West.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they showed it at E3 and they gave it some stage time at E3, that would be a great signal that they're ready for that to happen, that they realize the opportunity is here, because it's such an awesome franchise. It's always been awesome. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with every game in the Persona series, they keep getting closer and closer to the mainstream, recognizing it and starting to play it. And I feel like Persona 5 could be that game.
Yeah.
So I hope they give it some love.
I'd be down for that.
Vince, earlier in the show, you mentioned The Last Guardian.
Yes.
Do you have a prediction to make?
It's nothing that I'm going to bank a steak dinner on or anything like that, but I mean, let's just be realistic here for a second. Every year, someone makes this prediction, right? And then we always say, if it's not this year, it's gone. And every year they turn back around at least twice in that year and say, it's not gone, it's coming back, it's been reimagined. Like the most recent news update we got about it was that it's coming and that it just had to take a different direction. We don't know what that means.
Right.
I feel like that probably means that it's coming to PS4. And I feel like this has to be the year. This has to be the moment. They need to do something. Again, I've been saying this all show. They need to do something. And I feel like that would be a pretty big something.
It's like Homer trying to eat the Cheetos, and Santa's little helper keeps eating them. And he's like, this time.
Yeah. Every trade show is a little Cheeto. Well, regardless, whatever Last Guardian news comes out of E3 will be more positive than last year.
I wish we'd never seen that game to begin with. It's haunted most of my career now, of just being like, where is this game? Like, because it looked awesome. That was the thing. It's not even like that sort of like worry that they're making a train wreck or something like that. It's that looks so cool and so promising, and we want to see what it ends up being. I don't want to see a disaster. It's not a Duke Nukem situation where I'm like, I know this is a mess. I can't wait to see how disastrous this is. Yeah. It's just like, where are you? What is this now? How does it look?
It's like you met someone, like the person of your dreams,
and
you spent like this, you had this amazing day with them.
Saw a girl on the train.
And then they just went off the grid.
Yeah.
You're like, where is this person? You're like, look it up on Facebook. You're like, well, they're not actually posted. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I crazy? Like,
And you text her and she's like, new phone, who this?
Yeah.
Who this? I'm just saying, every year someone's got to make that prediction.
You're gonna fall on that sword this year.
I'll fall on that sword this year. Let me be the one to do it.
Any other crazy ideas of what would be cool? What would be crazy to be announced?
Well, I just want to know what you guys think will be the way to close. If it's not Last Guardian, like, how would you close? If you're running the show, how do you close it?
Closes with an Uncharted demo. I think it's gonna open with a Call of Duty demo.
So that would be different. That would be a big coup, I think, because Call of Duty has been so associated with Xbox.
It's pronounced COD.
Microsoft very often opens their show with Call of Duty.
Yeah.
If Sony did that, now that I think about it, that would be the biggest.
So when Brian Albert played the game for a preview event, they were playing on PS4, which is sort of indicative of that's what's going on. And Sony and Activision are buddies with Destiny, so I don't know. That'd be pretty surprising. It would also mean like we'd go that whole day without seeing Call of Duty until like the very end.
Where's
Call of Duty?
Call of Duty would never let that happen.
It'll show up in like the Nintendo conference.
Yeah, that Call of Duty's the big bully. It's like, why aren't you talking about me? I'm COD.
You know, we
get to COD.
You know, when we get to our hotels at E3, sometimes publishers have had.
Oh yeah,
you know, like
every room in the hotel.
Every room in the hotel that has something like an advertisement put in. Like one year it was Xbox.
But has that ever happened to you guys? Where you leave for an hour and you come back and there's stuff in your room?
Yes.
No, that sounds
okay.
Terrifying.
So do you remember the Kinect year, the year where they were first showing off the Kinect? I left my hotel room and I came back and I was washing my face and I looked up and there was Kinect stickers all over my mirror and I'm like, these weren't here an hour ago.
You are the controller.
Yeah, and I got really scared. I was like, is a Microsoft employee in my bed?
You're like looking behind the shower curtain.
I don't want to be the controller.
Brian, any predictions?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. I really do feel like it's going to be that kind of scattershot approach of tons of third-party exclusive stuff like Call of Duty. I think a big thing is that they're probably going to try to pull Titanfall 2 as close to their side as they can, which will be not really the biggest win in terms of like sales numbers, but it will be a big win perception-wise.
Sure,
yes. You know, it's a big kick in the balls to Microsoft, and if that's what they're going for. But yeah, I do think it's going to be this scattershot approach of lots of indies, lots of third-party stuff, and a couple of big first-party things here and there. But I don't think they're going to have anything like day and date. I do think that they'll probably announce that the Uncharted collection will be available almost immediately, and that it will have that Uncharted 4 demo thing in it.
Oh, interesting.
That's a good scenario.
Almost immediately. Not like wait till the fall for this?
Yeah, I think it'll be like it'll be ready in a couple weeks or today, whatever.
Every year we seem to have those moments where like they show something like, and it's out now. There was an indie game last year at Sony. There was the weird Dead Rising, Super Fighter.
I think it was like three or four games last year were revealed and released during the press conference.
Yeah, that indie game with the flow.
Thing. I can't even remember. It looked like Jazz Cigarettes.
Yeah, actually, now that I think of it, all
jazz
of those
cigarettes.
All of those games weren't very good. Now that I think about it,
sure.
Don't release games during E3. It's bad luck.
All right, that is a little preview of what to expect from Sony at E3. Sony's press conference will be in the evening of the Monday. They haven't announced the date yet, the time yet, but it's usually 6 p.m.
Yes, the last one.
Yep, last one on that day. You can watch it live on IGN. We'll have pre- and post-show coverage. We'll have live coverage of E3 all during that week. But gentlemen and gentlemen, we're not done yet. It's time for 20 questions.
Oh!
You all know how this works.
I need 10.
I have pre-selected a game, and my panel here has 20 questions in order to guess the game with yes or no questions.
Yep.
You may begin.
Oh, it's... Oh, we're a team? Wait, we're a team?
Yeah, we're a team.
Okay,
it takes too long when we
did this video game come out after January 1st, 2000?
Right, that's the standard open.
It did.
Okay. All right, cool.
In the last 15 years.
So we should nail down the platform.
Is this game associated with Sony?
No.
Ooh.
Okay, so that's good.
Not topical. Is this game associated with Microsoft?
Associated, yes.
That's too loose. It's too loose of a question.
I went loosey-goosey. One of you guys have to say something.
Okay, how about this? Did this game begin originally release as a Microsoft exclusive?
Yes.
Okay, that makes it a little...
Do we know console?
Yeah.
We should try to figure that out next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's Mass Effect.
Damn you!
All right, so was this...
Let's go by generation.
You want to go by generation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Was this game in the 360 generation?
No.
Okay.
Was this game in the original Xbox generation?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, cool.
We got something. Right.
So now, right,
now,
so
we,
recap.
Now we have the genre. Now we have the...
So this is an original Xbox game.
Yep. Yep.
That originally came out on the Xbox.
Yep.
Not associated with Sony.
Okay, so here's my next question. Is it a shooter?
No.
Okay. Here we go.
I feel pretty confident about this.
I think I know it.
Really?
Yeah. Should I burn a guess?
Yeah, do it, man.
Tell me what you want to guess.
But I want to be so ballsy.
Just do it.
I trust you.
Is it Knights of the Old Republic?
Yes. Second Xbox boys.
That was eight questions.
Oh man, is that a record?
I don't think it's a record, but it's.
I think Justin did one in seven.
It's our record.
I think Justin did one in seven, right?
Didn't he? Yeah.
I think that was the record. Is Justin in seven?
Is it too easy? No one has lost yet.
I lost.
No, you didn't lose. You guessed like right at the end, like
at
your 20th question.
Yeah. Okay, that's kind of.
What if I implemented a rule where if you guess a specific game and you're wrong, you lose.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
You have to be sure.
Yep.
All right, next time we'll try that.
All right.
Okay. We'll try that.
If you come for the king, you better not miss.
Yeah.
Billy Zane line from Titanic.
How did you guess that so fast, though?
I don't know. Guys, I associate that game with Xbox, but it also came to PC.
Yeah.
But then like when you said later. Shooter, your response was like, well, yeah. you do fire guns in the game, but it's not a shooter.
Right.
I think it's also like the original Xbox didn't really have like the most robust library. So when something lands there, you can kind of narrow it down a little better.
When you were like that, I thought I was right with you. I thought it was either Knights of the Old Republic or Crimson Skies.
Got it.
Because I was like, Crimson Skies, you are shooting, but it's not just really a shooter. It's like a flying game, you know? So I thought maybe that's why you were...
All right, next time we'll try the sudden death.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, that's our show. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Brian. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.